Go outside and do that. Because I can't. All right, Tom, I'll speak to you. All right, love you, bro. Show my love.
Yeah, well, shout out to everybody for waiting. Everybody just pulling right now. I appreciate you guys. We got the legend, the guy that I've been shaking and baking and connecting the dots all over the years, for over 30 years in the game. Mr. Steve Lobel is in the game right now. Shout out to Steve Lobel. Steve Lobel, how are you doing, man?
I'm blessed, man. I just want to say thank you for everybody who had some patience real quick. I know I'm a little 5 minutes late. Because time is life. Time is life, and I appreciate and respect everybody's time. So, thank you.
It's all love. It's all love. I appreciate you taking the time out your day. I know you're a busy man, you know, like checking your Instagram. You're always doing something. Like, how do you even have time to do everything like that? It's like you're all over the place.
Well, you know, when you love what you do,
yeah,
you don't put a time limit on it, you know? And
definitely.
Anything in life, you have to love what you do. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They want to do it for the money. You have to do it for the love and the passion. Right now, it's Saturday. I'm at my treatment center. You know, I opened up a treatment center in California with Scott Storch for drug and alcohol addiction. So I'm over here. I'm going to leave over here, go to one of the dispensaries that I have. You know, yesterday we had a studio session. The day before we had a studio session. So when you love what you do, you just make it happen. And I'm 55 years old. I just turned 55, man. So
that's crazy. Happy belated birthday, man. Happy belated birthday, for real.
I know I don't look 55, but I'm here to inspire and motivate all you, you know, everybody who's trying to make it in life.
Definitely. One thing I noticed about Canada, right? Not a lot of people know about Steve Lobel. They don't know a lot about the history when it comes to hip-hop. And I was checking that you already connected with Toronto rappers. I seen that you did a little interview with them back in the day. So I guess Toronto rappers was kind of somewhat trying to introduce you to the Canadian market, especially to the hip hop scene, the young hip hop scene. I know like the older heads might know who you are. Like, are you able to give us a little bit of an introduction for the people that's watching right now? Let them know what you've done and a little bit of background information about you.
Yeah, well, I want to touch on this. I don't think everybody in the Zoom is from Canada. Yeah. I love Toronto. I love Canada. I toured Canada with Beyonce and Sean Kingston years ago. I've been coming to Toronto for the last 5 years.
Wow.
Coming out there and speaking. Coming out there for the OVO Fest. Going to Chinatown and eating. Going to the Adidas store. I've been coming to Canada, Toronto. I love it. It's like New York for years. And, you know, for anybody who's on here who might not know me,
yeah,
I try to let everybody know who's young. It's deeper than my Instagram, and everybody, when they see me, like, yo, we working. My name's Steve Lobel. It's not we working. We've been working way before social media, and I've been in this game for 30 years. And a lot of young people who want to learn about the business, they do their homework about the coaches, and I'm one of the coaches. You need to know who's behind the scene making the moves. When Nipsey passed away, a lot of the millennials knew who I was because they knew that I discovered Nip.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, to give you a little resume, you know, I started in the music business in the 80s with Run DMC and the late, great Jam Master Jay. I worked with Fat Joe. I introduced Fat Joe to his wife. Big Pun, rest in peace. Big Pun, rest in peace. The Beat Nuts, M.O.P. In the Midwest, I worked with the Dayton family, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Wow. 3-6 Mafia. Eazy-E, rest in peace. Mac Maul from the Bay Area, the Loonies from the Bay Area. I work with Burna. Drew Down from the Bay Area, the Loonies. The Outlaws, Tupac's group I managed. Scott Storch on his last...
Oh, wow. That's great.
Scott Storch on the last 4 years right now of his comeback. Nipsey Hussle, you know... worked with Sean Kingston for a long time. IAS, man, Soulja Boy. Common Sense, which you guys know is Common.
Wow.
I'm sure I'm forgetting people. I worked with a lot of people, put a lot of collabs together, consulted a lot of people. I'm in the cannabis business with Cookies right now with Burna. I have a treatment center with Scott Storch called the Heavenly Center. I've been deep in this game for 30-some-on years.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I hope you guys paid attention to all these names he was dropping. They're not no local cats, you know. This guy's really like helped these cats became the who they were like back in the day. You know what I mean? That's one thing I respect about you, because you've been in the game, you've been doing your thing. You respect the culture. It's not about the money for you. from what you said, from the people that you've been able to connect with, especially way in the past. Like, you know what I mean? I've just been in the game for about 10 years, but you've been working with Tupac, you've been working with Biggie, with something I very much admire. One thing I realized about this culture, as hip-hop heads get older, they don't get their flowers. It's like, they has been, they're old heads, you know what I mean? But me, I respect the old heads because they've been there, they've been through it, they know the game, they know all the ins and outs about the game. So I really respect you, and I want to give you flowers while you're here and honor you as a great creative in the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, I try to tell people that, you know, support people when they're here. Tell them you love them when they're here. You know, I'm opening up a hip-hop museum right now /dispensary /studio, and I'm not going to make murals of people who passed away. I'm not going to follow the trend. I'm going to do murals of people that are alive right now. Because in this game of hip-hop, in this culture, we have a tendency not to show love and not salute and respect people that have done a lot for this culture until they die. And everybody runs to the gram to post pictures. I hate that. You know, and I'm guilty of that sometimes. But when I see people that have been doing it as long as I have and they're still doing it, I let them know that, you know, I love them, I respect them, I salute them. So all the young heads that want to say, oh, he's an old head or this one's an old head, we have knowledge. We've been through a lot of things to experience. We have so much knowledge to give you guys back and mentor you. You know, Russell Simmons is my mentor. My father's my mentor. So it ain't because someone's an old head. People don't even think I'm 55 years old. So I don't look like that. I'd rather have an old head mentor me and give me advice than a young head who's dumb and stupid. You understand? And it is about the youth right now. And there's a lot of young, talented people out here. But if you really watch what's going on, these young artists are getting locked up or getting killed, you know? So at the end of the day, you know, look at an old head to try to mentor you and help you and guide you.
Definitely. Definitely. You're right about that. And I just had before you yesterday, I just had a conversation with Jay Prince, and he was saying the same thing. You know what I mean? He's been to the game. He's one of the most respected cats in the game. So you guys both align. I have the same message.
Jay Prince is a legend from down south and a legend overall. Yeah. I know him and his kids. You know, I used to work with Tony Draper from Suave House, who's a legendary independent label from Texas, who had 8 Ball and MJG and Mr. Mike and Teeler in South Circle. So, you know, Jay Prince will tell you about Tony Draper, another great guy. So to all the young people out there, just do your homework on who's who and who could help you and who's still relevant. See, I'm a dinosaur, but I'm fossil fuel. Because I stay relevant. Yeah, that's the key thing. And to stay relevant is hard. And what really kept me relevant now in this game is being involved with the dispensaries with Cookies with Bernie. So, I always liked old heads in my life when I was young because it teach me and educate me.
Definitely. Definitely. Which I definitely respect that. Just to move on with the questions that I have for you today. If anyone's watching right now, if you guys have any questions, the chat is open. You can send in your questions and I'll be definitely be able to ask them some of your questions as well. And also we're doing a big giveaway for We Work in University. So whoever engages the most will get a 1 year of We Work in University, which teach you about the music business with from all the cats in the game. And you'll also be able to win a book bag as well. So make sure you guys send in your questions.
So you know, we created an online college called We Work in University. And we have 75 modules with some of the best people in different aspects of the music business. Yeah. I'm not in the music industry. I'm in the music business because it's a business. And we're giving away a year subscription and a backpack. And anybody who got work at university as a student, they're learning so much. We got Charlamagne Tha God, Nick, Gary V, choreographers, mix engineers, producers, songwriters, publicists, A&Rs, managers, some of the best in the game. So, you know, what we're giving away today is a blessing. And again, this business is about its business. And you got to learn knowledge about this music business because a lot of people don't know about publishing. They don't know about management. They don't know about A&R. They don't know about booking agencies. They just know about trying to look cool for Instagram and throwing a video up on SoundCloud or on YouTube. And it's deeper than that. It's a business.
Definitely. You're definitely right, which I'm going to touch on a couple of these topics that you mentioned. So just to go into my questions, I know you started in the game working with all these cats. Like, how did you really pretty much started being a manager? What made you decide, you know what? Because I'm sure back in the day, was it that's when hip hop had just started? Like, why did you want it to get into management? How come you never choose any other music genres to jump into?
I'll be honest with you, I'm self-made and self-taught. I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I was a young kid and I started raking leaves and shoveling snow, delivering newspapers, started working in restaurants. And then I just started hanging around Run DMC and I was carrying Adidas bags on tour.
Wow.
You know, and then I got a job at a record label doing street promotions and radio promotions and retail promotions when there was radio stations to go to and retail stores to put up posters and drop off promo tees. And then, wow. You know, years later, I became a manager. And just anybody trying to be a manager out there, it's a full-time job. You're a high-paid babysitter. You're a psychiatrist, wow. A therapist, a loan shark. You know, management is not easy. A lot of people don't salute the managers. Recently, managers, the last few years, are getting their props. So I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. You know, I didn't graduate from high school. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And I believe in God. And God directed to me where I'm at. And that's how I really started.
Okay, dope. I really love the answer. So let me just look into a couple questions I see everybody sending right now. People are going in the chat. They want to know a lot of questions. So let me just pick one of them and ask you. One person said, how can Canadian artists break into the States?
Listen, you know, when I was coming to Toronto and doing my speaking engagements, that was a lot of those questions that Toronto artists or Canadian artists were saying. Listen, there's no such thing no more. We're in a global world, internet. Yeah. Power the internet. You could be in Canada and break in Japan. You could be in Japan and break in Australia. You understand? So there's no such thing no more. Because of YouTube and because of Spotify and because of TuneCore and all these other things, you could break anywhere. But if you just want to break in Canada first and do it that way, you got to get the support from all the local DJs, the radio station, the streets, the influencers, the power players. But I wouldn't even look at just breaking in Canada because it's very hard to even break in your own city no matter where you're at. You know, these days the fans know about you before the record labels. So you got to use the power of the internet, man. It sounds cliche, but you got to use the power of the internet. Someone could be from Canada and break in New York. Someone could be from New York and break in Atlanta. So those days are over.
Definitely. You're definitely right about that. And also, what advice would you give an upcoming artist coming up without a manager and don't have any back support? What would you direct that artist?
You know, any upcoming artist or any upcoming writer, songwriter, producer, anybody, you know, believe in yourself. You know, I get 9 no's to 1 yes. I go with my gut. A lot of people told me Nipsey was never going to blow up. We went with our gut. At the end of the day, you know, be yourself. Be innovative. Be creative. Don't follow a trend. You know, be yourself. Let me know if you want to watch the fight. You know, be yourself. And just be creative and create your own music and your own sound, your own image, your own look. There's too many people out here trying to be and act and look like every other artist. That's the problem. They're not setting trends. They're following trends. You know, I'm a leader, not a follower, you know? I'm a leader, not a follower. You guys need to be leaders.
You're definitely right about that. From somebody that has a lot of experience like you, being in hip-hop and seeing the transition from different like, sound coming in from the hip hop. There's the mumble rappers, the lyricists that came. How do you feel like hip hop has changed over the years, and where do you think it's going now? Like, especially with this whole internet era, like, what's your take on that?
I mean, I feel like the music business is the Wild Wild West right now. Anything goes, because again, if you don't like Migos, you don't have to listen to them. You go listen to J. Cole. You don't like J. Cole, you go listen to Snoop. You don't want to listen to Snoop, you go listen to Nip. You don't want to listen to Nip, you go to listen to Kid Laroi. You don't want to listen to Kid Laroi, you go listen to Tory Lanez. You don't like Tory Lanez, you go listen to Drake. You don't like Drake, go listen to Beyonce. You don't like Beyonce, you go like Chloe and Haley. You know, there's so many genres of music, so many different types of platforms that you can just now, it's not forced down your throat. Like in America, all you hear on the radio is the same music of the artist over every hour. And they would push that in your head. You wouldn't even know what other rappers are out there. Now, because of the power of the internet, you know, you can pick and choose who you like and who you want to stream, who you want to listen to. So you know, it's teach his own right now. Everybody has an opinion. If you don't like this, you like that. You don't like that, you like that. So, again, I feel it's the Wild Wild West, and I feel the people who are building their legacy and worrying about their legacy and trying to build their career to really be a brand, they'll outlast the people that are going to come and go.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. And also, like you said, the Wild Wild West, it's an open gate for everybody to get in, because back then, like, if your music was in Best Buy, you couldn't buy a CD, then nobody would pretty much hear about you unless you're in the street hustling the bootlegs. Like, how do you feel about everybody's trying to be independent and against the labels? And do you suggest artists be open to signing to labels as long as the deal is right for them?
I mean, look, you know, a lot of people now are trying to say, fuck a label, right?
Yep, yep.
And they want to do it independently. But the best of the best needed the label to put the money up. Okay, the record company, the record label is the bank. And everybody tries to say, oh, the record company's trying to screw me or take this or take that from me. They have to take something because they're giving you the money to make you who you are. That was in the past. There's a lot of artists out here right now independently killing the game. But everybody has a team. And what team means is together everybody achieves more. And no one does it by themselves. Everybody wants to say they did it by themselves, but they didn't. You know, if you want to go to a next level, you're going to need some capital. Definitely. You're going to need some money. And that's why you need that major label push sometimes. And then what happens is a lot of artists get on the major label and then they complain and moan and they want to say, fuck the label and get dropped. And then they're independent. And then, you know, the label has so much power, they can get you blackballed. You know, there's a whole bunch of politics in this game that people don't get to know. It all depends on what you're trying to do and what you're trying to figure out for your end game, what your goals are. You know, it's a gift and a curse, so to speak, being independent or being signed to a label. It's really right. what fits you. Because, you know, there's artists that get do it by themselves with their team and get it going, and then they go to a major label, and then the major label fucks it all up. Then there's artists that are doing independent, and they get to the major label, and the major label takes to the next level. So, yeah. You know, it has to fit your format.
You're definitely right about that. It really all depends on the artist and which route they're trying to go into. So with streaming and things like that, like such as Spotify, pretty much taking over the whole music business, as in like, I find that a lot of artists are complaining about the royalties that they're getting from some streaming platforms. They're not getting as much money as they used to get when it came to selling CDs, because they were getting like somewhat as a fraction of a penny. A penny, but now they're getting a fraction of a penny, 0.00. They're not really getting a penny anymore. So what do you feel since you came back, you were there when it was the CD era, the vinyl era, now you go to the whole streaming era. So I feel like you went through the whole process of the physical to digital. So what difference do you see in that? Do you think there's more money in streaming than there was back then?
Well, you know, I come from vinyl, cassettes, CDs, ringtones, iTunes, and streaming, right?
Yeah.
I feel like every 4 or 5 years there's a new rapper, a new technology, a new athlete, a new model, a new actress. There's always something new coming every 4 or 5 years, and you have to adjust with the times. I would say the money in CDs, you know, you have to sell 1 million records to go platinum. And you'd make a lot of money, though. But it would cost a lot of money to make that album and shoot those videos and the promotion and the marketing. Now, with the streaming, it's paying what, $3,000 to $4,000 every million? But you gotta stream a lot to make a lot of money, but you're spending less. So it all depends. You know, record labels are making a lot of money right now streaming. There's a lot of independent artists that are streaming and making money. But again, if you're a new artist and you don't come from the CD and vinyl era, then, you know, you don't know what that money was looking like. So, you know, I was glad that I was able to experience. If I can go back in time, would I want to do that? Me personally, but a lot of these artists that are young, they don't want to do that because they don't know that. So, you know, again, I was blessed that I was around using payphones and beepers and rolls of quarters, and now I have an iPhone. I can film everything. A lot of people are like, yo, how you have all those throwback pictures? There was no iPhone back then. There was no videos back then doing all this stuff. And I said, well, I had a disposable camera or a Polaroid, you know? Wow. Who's that, Joe? Wow. Delivery? Oh, you're crazy. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So as from you being a manager coming from the, like I said, from all these eras, right now, let's just say you're managing someone right now and they rely on the streaming income to make any money from their music. What other avenues would you suggest for them to go into so they could start making some income from their music?
Well, look, you know, no one ever thought that with this pandemic, there'll be no live shows, right?
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, you know, a lot of artists lived off of live shows, walkthroughs, clubs, festivals. And now with this pandemic, you know, and I hope everybody and their families are healthy, by the way. And I'm praying for everybody through these crazy times. But a lot of artists are out here not making no money. I pivoted into different businesses myself, like, because I'm a businessman. But, you know, there's a lot of artists out here and management that were used to making show money, and now they're not. So, you know, the best time right now to put out music would be now, and the best time to make music would be now.
Okay, great. So you would tell them to focus mostly on the music as a manager.
In this times right now, if you're a manager and you're working for an artist, you know, to be honest with you, just try to find deals out there for your artists to do different things and be creative, like with Scott Storch. You know, I did a deal with Splice. I'm doing a sunglass line. We did a documentary. You know, we're doing just different things. And, you know, new artists, you know, when I work with new artists, I'm just trying to find different ways to do different things for them. Again, no one thought in the music business it would wind up like it is now. We're living in some crazy times.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
And as a manager, you're only going to make money when you bring the artist money or the artist is making money. You know, the artist is making money, you know?
You're right. You're definitely right. I try to tap into the whole management as well. It's kind of hard to start off from the ground up to trying to create money opportunities for an artist. So I definitely give you credit for something like that, because you're pretty much creating a whole business for the artist. It's not like the artist is making these things up. You have to use your own connects to connect the dots to make something happen. So that's definitely like admirable from somebody like you, for sure.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of questions. I'm going to get to you guys' questions very soon. So I got a few questions waiting from that I want for him to answer. As a manager, right, you pretty much somewhat like an A&R as well, because I find that, like you said in the beginning, you put a couple songs together. Do you find that as a manager, when you manage an artist, you try to push hits mostly, or are you trying to push song that you find that's going to connect with a lot of people? Do you focus on certain things, like just say, great, we need a party song, we need a club song, we need a smoking song? Do you go into the studio thinking like that, or is it you just based on the artist flow?
I was an A&R in the past, and when you're an A&R, that's what you call artist repertoire. And, you know, when I managed artists, my job was to source out collaborations and source out production from producers to bring it to the artist. I feel that artists need to be creative and make what they feel and vibe with the beat, vibe with the songwriter if they got a writer in the room or top line. You know, with Nipsey, we never really chased making music for radio. Now managing Scott Storch, who's a producer, and I bring in, you know, the youngest, hottest people that are coming up, I always ask the A&R or the manager or the artist, like, what type of tracks you're looking for?
Okay.
And they'll say stuff, but when they get in the room with Scott,
it's different.
We let them know, like, yo, just let's create music. Music is music, man. You can't just go in there trying to say, oh, I want an up-tempo, I want a mid-tempo, I want a ballad, I want this. You know, sometimes less is more, quality over quantity, you know? So if you're a real true artist, man, you just vibe with that producer or that music or that track, and you just make great music, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's a very dope answer that you said.
You can't force an artist. Yeah. You can't force an artist how to make a record.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. And just to follow up on your answer, you said artists having songwriters in the room to help them write their song. What's your take when it comes to, like, ghostwriting? Do you suggest artists to tap in with a ghostwriter to come out with some great music, or do you expect for them to just come out with the song themselves?
I mean, to be honest with you, like, I never managed a producer, so when I started working with Scott Storch and brought him back on his comeback, which has been a major comeback, you know, a lot of times the A&R, the manager, like, hey, you guys got any writers or top liners or songwriters? I'm like, that's not our job to bring them in. But sometimes some of the best music is made when you got a bunch of songwriters and helping the artist. Yeah. And, you know, some of your favorite rappers, you know, got some top liners doing those hooks or helping them with the hooks. Mm-hmm. You know, and nothing's wrong with that, man. Songwriters are the most powerful thing in the industry, I feel, right now. And they're the ones really making them hit records. If you go to some of these big hit pop records, it's like 17 writers on a song. You understand?
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, teamwork. You know, just because a rapper brought someone in to ghostwrite or even write a hook or something, you know, nothing wrong with that. As long as a hit record comes out of there or a great record, that's what counts for me. But for a record label, you know, they're just looking for hits. They don't care if their dead grandmother wrote the song. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, yeah, just, you know, it's about just making hit records in any which way you make them. So there's a lot of people out here just not artists. They're great songwriters. And they're in these sessions helping some of these artists. I wouldn't say more so with the lyrics. I would say more with the melodies and the hooks. You know, and there's some greats out here. They don't need no top line, don't need no songwriters. But a lot of people know a lot of these pop singers don't write their stuff, and they got people writing, and there's four or five people in there writing. It's just facts.
Okay, so the ghostwriting thing been in hip-hop from the beginning of age then?
I wouldn't say hip-hop, you know, because when I came in hip-hop, ain't no rappers had no ghostwriters or no songwriters in there.
Yeah.
In the last, you know, for me, everybody I worked with would never do that. But now that I work with Scott as a producer, we want to make sure that we can hit records out of it. So whoever got to be in it to write them songs, that top line, that's all that matters, my brothers. All we care about.
You're right about that. And what would you say is the quality of a good song, of a good music? What make a song stand out, like make it a hit?
It starts, listen, so a lot of wise men told me once, you know, as much as some of these producers are crazy, they said, Steve, the producer could be crazy as they want. It starts with the music. A song starts with the music. And then it starts with then it comes to the melody and that hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lyrics, you know?
Okay.
So to me, I feel like I still got a great ear. And when I press play on a record, I know right away it's that vibe. It's all about the vibe.
It's all about the vibe, okay.
You just hear it. To me, and I'm usually right. You know, look, Chloe and Halle, the record Do It, it's nominated for a Grammy next year. Scott Storch produced it. As soon as we heard it and they laid their vocals, it was a vibe and it blew up on TikTok. You know, this Kid Leroy Marshmello record that Scott did, as soon as we heard it, you know, we did it. It's a vibe. You know, like, you just know, man. You know, when I first heard Nipsey's music, it was a song called I Don't Give a Fuck. It was in 2004.
You put that record
on right now, it's timeless.
Wow.
It's like it was just made last year. So anything that can be timeless is great music to me. I'm not with that, you know, shit that lasts a year and it's gone, you know?
Quick
bang, bang. Nah.
Yeah, so just talking about Nipsey, R.I.P. Nipsey, which somebody I really look up to, just the way you think, you know what I mean? As a rapper, you always think about investing and diversifying his portfolio. You always talk about energy, the people you surround yourself with, which I feel like is really needed when it comes to like hip hop and how you move and things like that. One thing I wanted to ask you, like, how did you and him start connecting from Nipsey being a straight gangbanger that being a street banger? And you managing, how did you guys connect it? That seems such like weird, like, yeah, like, well, connect, you know?
You know, you can go Google all this stuff. You know, there's videos of me and Nipsey at this Fantasy Factory skateboarding, and I took him to Cali, you know, 13 years ago. He named me Maniac Lil Bell because I'm a maniac and I work hard, and it's facts. And, you know, Nip was the smartest artist I ever worked with. Wow. I worked with a lot of artists. You know why? Because he always wanted to learn and educate himself. You know, in the beginning, everybody told me I was wasting my time. He looked like Snoop Dogg. He's a rolling 60 crib. He looks like Snoop Dogg. But the only thing that ever changed about Nip was the size of his clothes.
Yeah.
Nip was a businessman. He always wanted to educate, learn, and do other things to create business. So he was that guy. And, you know, he's the same person, man. He came in the game gangbanging. He passed away gangbanging, unfortunately. But, you know, I feel like now he's bigger dead than alive, which is sad because I think a lot of people got on to him when he died or like 2 years ago before he died. They didn't really watch that whole grind. And that grind started in 2004, you know. So, you know, he's just a very educated, smart guy. He was special. He was different, man. But a lot of people didn't believe in the beginning. And they told me I was wasting my time. The music sucked. He looked like Snoop Dogg. But I went with my gut. And you know what? Like I said, everybody jumps on the bandwagon after you do the work. Or, you know, a lot of people don't go with their gut and they want to go on what's relevant. Nah, I don't do that.
Yeah, you're right about that. And just to follow up based on a statement you said, I do notice that when a lot of artists, especially hip-hop artists, whenever they passed away, they usually become bigger than what they were before when they were alive. So why do you feel like record labels tend to push rappers when they die more than when they are alive? Especially Pop Smoke, he's out here doing billions, 1 billion streams than he ever did when he was alive. So what's your take on that?
Well, look, man, Pop Smoke, man, we were supposed to work with him the day before he passed away with Scott Storch. You know, he's bigger dead than alive. King Von is bigger dead than alive.
Yeah.
It's fucking sad. Tupac was big. Now he's dead and he's still fucking huge. You know, a lot of these people who work at these record companies, man, they don't give a fuck. So if someone dies, they're just going to exploit it and try to make as much money as they can. They don't give a fuck. And it's sad. And to be honest with you, like, that's when I go back to saying, why don't we support people when they're alive and stream their music and book them to do shows and fuck with them? But as soon as someone dies, they got to go platinum in heaven. Shit is fucked up. I never got it, never understood it. You know, I came in the game through Jam Master Jay, rest in peace. I worked with Big, doing that Bone and Biggie collab. I worked with Pac with his group, The Outlaws. I worked with Big Pun with Fat Joe. You know, Scott just did a record with Polo G, with King Von before he passed, and I know he's going to pass. Like, bro, it's just fucked up, man. You know, and again, you know, Nipsey, I felt like he wouldn't have went platinum if he didn't die. You know, but, you know, we're living in a fucked up society, a fucked up world that people will recognize someone when they're dead, but not when they're alive. They won't give people their credit or their roses or flowers or tell them they love them or like them or fuck with them when they're alive, unless you're a diehard real motherfucker. Everybody's just jealous or intimidated, or they don't want to see the next man win. The next man's success is just good for my success to make me get more motivated, you know? But I'm not a hater. There's a lot of people out here hate. So, you know, now all of a sudden, record company's going to make all this money off Pop Smoke. The guy's dead, man. What does that mean now? And you know what? To touch on that, like, you know, I'm scared of death. And, you know, I'm getting older. And, you know, at the end of the day, we got to make the best of every day we live. If our mother's alive, our father's alive, our brothers and sisters alive, our loved ones, tell them you love them. Spend some time with them because they're the ones going to be there for you when shit gets, you know, hot. And, you know, and live your life, man, because tomorrow's not promised. You just never know. And for the younger generation, man, they're just getting locked up and dying left and right. And it's sad, man. These guys are not even, you know, adults yet, so to speak. And there's so many people just, like, having kids and then they're getting killed and leaving their kids around. There's so much hate and jealousy, man. It's fucking sad.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. And that's the reason why, like, I wanted to give you flowers while you're alive. You know what I mean? I respect what you do for hip hop, for culture, and you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
I appreciate it. You can go YouTube stuff, me and Nipsey 10 years ago. You can go look at interviews of me talking the same stuff. One thing about me, I stay consistent. I don't jump on bad wags. Everybody knows me. I'm an Adidas, a nice watch, a white tee, a sweatsuit. You know, you go look at my Instagram, which is We Working, and you'll see some crazy throwback pictures from the 80s and the 90s. We've been doing it, and we're staying relevant, and that's the biggest thing. And we're here to give back and stay consistent. And, you know, I'm a giver, not a taker, man. I try to open up doors and help people and mentor people. You know, it's all about, you know, giving people knowledge and so on and so forth. So, and again, you know, I want to appreciate you for having me on this. And this is the type of shit I do, man. I go out and speak when there's no pandemic. And if I can, I go speak. A lot of people just get caught up, man. They want to talk to the artist direct, or they're trying to, you know, chase an artist. The artist ain't going to put you on. It's the coaches out here behind the scenes like myself trying to look for the next songwriter, producer, artist, or help. You know, but everyone wants to run to the club because they heard this artist could be in the club, and they're going to go there trying to get close to the artist, and the artist's going to act like funny style and not want to take a pic or shake hands. And that's why motherfuckers need to stay humble, man, because everything goes up must come down.
You're definitely right about that. Just to ask you a question before I forget. I find that when it comes to this business, talent doesn't really matter. It's pretty much about who you know that could cut this check. Do you think talent matters in this era? It's really just about who you know in this music business?
This is a great question, man. to be honest with you, and I appreciate someone to this man is dropping gems. Get to know my name, Steve Lobel, if you haven't, and maybe you should Google that, but I appreciate that. It's not what you know, it's who you know, first of all, in life.
Yeah. Okay?
And success is not just money. Success is, you know, getting married, having a child, graduating from college, getting your first car, getting married, getting your first gold record, getting your first platinum record, getting a record deal. Success comes in different forms. To me, I love true talent. I'm not with the gimmicks. I'm not with the overnight success. I'm not with cheating the game. I'm with the marathon, not the sprint, you know? And I feel like a lot of these labels are not signing artists based on talent or artist development. They're signing them on basically, you know, their streaming numbers or their views or their followers. And to me, I think that's all corny, you know? But again, that's just me. I love talent. I love listening to great songs and great producers, great songwriters, and great artists, and just seeing someone's original. And if you notice, you know, look at Lizzo when she came out, different, and she blew up.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it was talent, and she was signed to a label for a long time. So that's how I live my life. You know, of course, personality helps, swag helps, loyalty helps, integrity helps, and hard work and work ethic. You know, a lot of artists, they don't want to work as hard as me, and I'm 55 years old, and he's 22. You get it? So, yep. You know, those are the things that I need in my cookbook to work with an artist, and especially integrity, because a lot of artists, you help them out, and then they get amnesia, you know?
And
they forget where they come from. They forget where they come from and so on and so forth, you know?
Yeah, you're right about that. You definitely telling the whole truth out here. Since artist development is pretty much dead when it comes to record labels don't spend. I feel like back then record labels would spend a lot of time to teach artists about the game and actually help develop this artist, the artist. Do you find that A&Rs these days for the artists that are watching right now or the managers, do you find that A&Rs from record labels are mostly focused on the metrics and the Instagram numbers and the Spotify streams, YouTube views to sign artists? Or do you find that they also look at the talent and how they could make the artist a long-term artist more than a one-hit wonder? Well, let me just unmute you. Your thing is on mute right now. You might have to unmute that. Let me see if I could do that for you. There you go.
Okay. To me, you know, 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 are not looking, you know, 7 to 10 are looking for those metric numbers and all stuff. The smart ones are looking at the ones that are going to be around for longevity and building the legacy. Yeah. I see there's a bunch of people in here. How many of you guys heard about me before we did this? I would like to, everybody comment. How many of you heard about me?
Comment. Okay.
Yeah, how many have you heard about? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I have.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, no.
The shit out of you.
I see that, and I appreciate it. You know what? It's about researching anything because – you guys are living in a world right now, you can Google anything. And there's a lot of people out here are frauds, and they're telling people they're going to do stuff for them and taking their money, and they really can't.
And they really,
you know, all you can do is Google some of these days and see what's going to come up.
See if it's real, you know?
I've been with Bone Thugs, you know, over 20 years. You know, I was with Nip for a long time. So at the end of the day, you know, not many artists stay with managers that long and work with people. I got this good karma, man, you know?
Yeah, you're definitely right. You're definitely right about that. You've been in the game for a long time, and I put you in a Jay Prince. You and Jay Prince kind of like in the same boat. You guys been around with Tupac and Biggie. Just to ask you a question about old times, how was it working with Biggie and Tupac? Like, how was it back then?
Well, you know, I was around Tupac, but I managed his group, The Outlaws. So I didn't really, per se, work with Pac, but I worked with his group, The Outlaws. You know, rest in peace to Fred Hussein, rest in peace to Gaddafi, shout out, you know, Napoleon, Castro, Idi Amin, and Young Noble. You know, with Big, you know, I put together the Bone and Biggie record, Notorious Thugs. There's pictures on the internet of us. You know, Biggie was a good guy. It's unfortunate what happened with him. So, you know, man, I won a Grammy with Chamillionaire and Crazy Bone called Riding Dirty. I never put out a Grammy.
So you put that song together?
Yeah, I put that song, Playing Skills, together. I have found Playing Skills in Texas. And we did that song together. You know, I've been blessed, man. You know, I could work with a lot of other people and a lot of people that you guys might know, but I have a life too now, and I'm older, so I don't want to die working, and I want to be able to live life. But at the end of the day, you know, the reason why I work with a lot of artists right now is because a lot of them, man, they're not who they say they are. They have no integrity, no loyalty. And, you know, with me, I probably lost a lot of millions of dollars because of my integrity, but I'd rather keep my integrity. This for me, my little man, boy, he bought me some pizza, so he cares about me.
Yeah, shout out to the guy that just bought the pizza.
Oh, man, little Joey, fly guy buddy, man.
All right, so, dope. Know. So shout out to everybody in here. I don't know where you guys from. Tell us where you guys from in the chat. What city you guys from? Because we're about to do this giveaway after this conversation. You know, tell us where you guys from for sure. And also, quick question
Queens,
for you. You from Queens, huh?
Someone said from North Hollywood, man.
North Hollywood.
Whoever's from North Hollywood, I got a treatment center in Studio City. I got a dispensary in Woodland Hills, another one in Van Nuys. But I'm from Queens. Never forget where you come from.
Okay, dope. So you're still right now, you're in LA right now. That's where you kind of like do your businesses. So I see that you're always posting cookies and things like that, the weed line that you currently work with. So are you like a part owner, or is that a new venture that you're getting into?
Yeah, you know, Burner is the CEO of Cookies, something he created. And he never had a flagship store, and I connected some dots. And we opened the first flagship cookie store in Maywood, California. Wow. And now they're starting to open wildfire all across the country and the world. I'm involved with some. So we have Cookies Woodland Hills, where we do a lot of cool things. We just had a Mac 10 drop, a Jam Master J joint drop. We're doing some with Nikki Diamonds from Diamond Square on Friday. So I'm involved with, you know, cannabis, with the cookie stores. And we're opening one in Boston and Puerto Rico, Colorado. And I got involved with that. I don't even smoke. So just pivoted. And then I'm actually right now in Studio City at my treatment center, where I have a treatment center for drug and alcohol abuse, where Scott Storch is a partner, and someone I grew up with is a partner of ours, and he's big in the business. So I pitched him an idea to open up a treatment center called the Heavenly Center using cannabis with Scott Storch. So we have that.
Okay, that's dope. That's dope.
That's where I'm at right now.
I was seeing some weed farm. I'm like, yo, this guy about to get super high right now.
Nah, I'm keeping it real. I don't smoke, man. I don't drink. Oh, I don't do drugs. You know, I'm in my treatment center right now. When I see some of our guests, we call them guests. They said, what's your drug of choice? I said, my drug of choice is work. Work is an addiction. And also, you know, sugar. I love sweets, man. It's addiction, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. Back then, I find that which drug of choice do you find that artists used to take back in the day? Because I was listening to Noriega podcast. He said back in the day, he used to pop a couple perks or whatever, maybe to get in his creative juice and things like that. Was weed was always like a thing in hip hop, always like different drugs people used to take back then?
You know, Hennessy destroyed a lot of hip hop lives and cost us a lot of money, Hennessy.
Wow.
Marijuana has always been around and still is, and it's legal. It gave everybody a creative vibe. Some people, you know, back in the days, addicted to cocaine. These new kids are on perks and fentanyl. And we're helping a lot of people in our treatment center as well. But, you know, a lot of kids, these young kids out here dying, man.
You definitely right about that. You know. Yeah. You're right about that. And one thing I noticed back then, a lot of hip hop that used to come out used to be mostly like a lot of drug dealer music. But nowadays, it's a lot of drug-taking music. What's your take on an artist doing all these drugs, drinking lean, and all kinds? Like, what's your take on all that?
I mean, to each his own, man. Only God could judge, right?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you know, I feel bad for them, but you know, that's why a lot of people need help, man. You know, you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make it drink.
You're definitely right about that.
You know,
I
know, I try to tell a lot of artists, man, you need to get off of this, get off of that, but they want it. They're going to have to want to get off. They're going to want to have help. Like I said, you can't force somebody. because then they'll be like upset at you or fight back, you know?
Yeah, you definitely right about that. RIP to Juice, bro. That was one of my favorite artists. So RIP to him for real. And so another question I wanted to ask you, you also said like you managed a couple artists. A lot of artists was loyal. They didn't have any integrity and things like that. So how do you know if an artist is the right fit to work with you as a manager? Like what makes you be like, oh, I want to work with this guy?
I mean, you don't know. You got to get to know someone, like you get to know your wife or your girlfriend or your friend. You know, like there's so many people out here disloyal to people when the shit hits the fan or snitching on somebody. Or, you know, they start off working with you and they down with you and then someone gets in their ear and they get manipulated. So many different things, man. It's very hard to trust, man. I really don't trust nobody. Yeah. And that's why you have to have things in contract and on paper. This is a business. And when you start talking about paperwork and lawyers, people start running. And yeah, you damn right helped as well. So, you know, you got to test people, man, to try to see if you want to work with them or not. Because, you know, you can invest yourself into somebody's career in the beginning and put up money and time is money in life. And they just get amnesia when they start blowing up, when they get people in their ears and they start, you know, doing this and doing that. And everybody wants to say, fuck this one and fuck that one. It's very hard, man.
You're right about that. And also, just we're talking about a lot of artists passing away and things like that. Do you find that artists, when they sign these contracts, they should have like a clause that say, okay, in case I passed away, this person going to receive my royalties, my mom, my family going to receive it. Do they have these type of contracts or should artists should have these clauses in their contracts?
That's a great question. Maybe record companies should start putting like in a contract a will.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? But why are you even going to try to think that an artist is going to get signed and get killed? So it's putting negative energy out there. It's fucked up because when someone dies, then all of a sudden everybody's fighting for the money or the estate and who owns what, who owns this, yeah. Who owns that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucked up, you know?
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. So at the moment, are you currently working with any artists yourself? Since you said you're managing Scott Storch right now, which artists are you currently managing yourself?
I mean, I'm working with some artists on a consulting tip and looking at some artists to see if I want to work with and test in the field. But right now, the music industry is, you know, it's a bad time because it's pandemic. So I'm just focusing on the things that I have going on. Okay. And I got some artists I'm working with rather than say their names right now that I'm looking at, that, you know, about to come out and blow up. I like to find stuff from the bottom up and build it and just, you know, make it climb instead of just coming out and then bam,
yeah.
you know, half the work is done. Cause I got the producer, I got the studio,
yeah,
and I got the team. So yeah.
Okay. While you're on here right now and a whole bunch of artists and managers are currently watching you, are you currently looking for to work with new artists, or is it just like you kind of taking a pause from it because of the pandemic?
I'd be stupid not to. I mean, I'm always looking, but it's gotta be different, man. And yeah. nothing really makes me jump off the chair right now, you know?
Okay.
And any artists out there that are trying to, you know, submit their music to people to listen to, make sure it sounds right first. It's all about the sonics first, man. So make sure that music is right and invest in the music and the mic and the studio. Make sure that sound is right first. You know, when it comes on, that production sonically sounds great, you know?
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. And what's your take on artists? A lot of artists ask me for your email. Like, I'm not just going to give you this guy's email.
I mean, but let me tell you something. See, this is where common sense comes in. Yeah. Most people here don't got common sense then. Yeah. Because if they seeing who I am and they follow my Instagram or check my Instagram, my email's right there on my Instagram.
It's right there. You could just take so, it right you know, there.
Like, see, like that, you got to have common sense in this game, and common sense is not common, you know?
But what's your take on, like, artists just sending you music without you asking for it? Like, a lot of artists tend to go in people's DMs and just listen to their, tell me your advice.
I'm not that DM guy. That's for the younger people, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I see something in a DM, I'll open it maybe, but I'm not that savvy for that. But if you email me like a human being, like real business, yeah. You know, like real billionaire business people, they email. They're not in DMs. You email me like a professional and we build a relationship organically, and you're not disrespectful, you're not forceful, you're not annoying. That's how most of my success has been come with people, is by organically building a relationship with someone, you know?
And you're definitely right about that. And one guy was getting at me because I bought a cameo from you, because you're on cameo. But what I was trying to show people, I was trying to build a relationship with you, because I don't know you from the woodwork. The best I could do is support whatever project I see that you're doing, so to build my relationship with you. So I bought my cameo from you, and just to show people how I built my relationship with him organically. And I also went to the music business course that I seen that you were pushing, and I bought a course as well just to support you. I find that a lot of people got to show support first before they even trying to build connection, because you were in the game for a long time. I can't just ask you for service out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. You know, sometimes I say to people, like, don't hit my phone, you know, if you want something, don't bring no opportunities to me. It's a two-way street. Right. One hand wash the other, two hand wash the face.
Yeah.
And everybody just wants it to be one way, their way. Only them, me. It's got to be a two-way street.
You're definitely right about that. I only got you for like about an hour, so I'm just going to ask you a few more questions. If you guys have any questions, drop them on the chat. Drop them on the
chat.
So
I could ask. I'm with you. I'm not going away. I'm just eating lunch. Sorry.
All right. No problem, man. I respect people's time. You know what I mean? That's one thing I do.
Yeah. I gave you my word, so I'm going to continue my word, you know? All we got is our words.
You're definitely right about that. What can you tell us about music marketing and music promotion? Because one thing I realized from when you were coming up, the music promotion was mostly posting flyers, selling the CDs in the streets. But now music promotion and marketing went fully digital. It's the Google ads, Facebook ads, and things like that, and the YouTube ads, and the influencer marketing and things like that. What type of marketing and promotion that you mostly focus on to break your artists?
Well, you know what's so crazy, right? I'm opening a hip-hop museum, and about 2 weeks ago, I posted all this promotional product that I saved for 30 years.
Yeah.
From promotional T-shirts, cassette samplers, posters, glossies, stickers, jackets. There was so many promo things back in the days for promotion and marketing, right? They don't even make that type of stuff no more.
Yeah, you're right.
Promotion and marketing right now is an Instagram post, you know, digital marketing, talking to a blogger, having someone talk about you, blogger. So the promotion and marketing is totally different now.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook ads, YouTube ads. You know, the best way to promote something is have people promote it for you and talk about you. It's okay to promote yourself, but it's better when people promote for you and help you and spread the word and they become your fan or supporter. You understand? Promotion and marketing these days is somebody going on Instagram and tell them to go fuck themselves or suck my you know what or just stupidity. You know, I feel like real promotional marketing is from the groundwork up, getting out there, you know, hugging people, kissing the baby, shaking hands, building a relationship organically. If I'm going to spend some money, I would spend it on digital promotion, digital, you know, DSPs. But you know what? Good music's going to stand out. I know it sounds cliche, but good music stands out. Great conceptual video stand out, hard work stands out, and just doing some different creative stuff that's going to catch someone. You know, look, every day you got to catch up on something else. Now there's TikTok. Artists are breaking on TikTok, but guess what? The song is breaking on TikTok. You don't even know who the fuck the artist is. You know who the song is. How crazy is that? Like, so where's the branding and the marketing? People are blowing up a song on TikTok, but it's just the song, not the artist. And not who they are. And that's why it's like the wild, wild west, like I said earlier.
Yeah, you definitely right about that. I feel like the internet has really make it a very wild, wild west music industry.
You know, look, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Nipsey Hussle took over 10 years to really break, you know?
Wow. Yo, I just hope you guys are hearing this. A lot of artists I'll be trying to work with or things like that, they always trying to blow up right away. They always ask, well, how come there's no traction? How come? Things take time. They took me over 10 years just to connect with somebody like you. You just for me to study the game, to know who did this, who did that, what this guy's about. How can I connect with them? It took me time. You have to know the game. You're not going to know the game within a month, within 2-3 months of time. You know, it takes a lot of time to actually know what you're doing. So you're right about that for sure.
Yo, you get nine no's. I get nine no's to one yes. I plant my seeds years ago to get the fruit.
Yeah.
Any greatness takes time.
You're definitely right about that. So what would you say is the most difficult thing about you being a manager or A&R? Like, what's the difficult thing for you?
Well, being a manager is a full-time job. It's really 25/8. And I've been a psychiatrist before, a therapist, a loan shark, a babysitter.
Wow.
There's a lot of pros and cons and gifts and curses with the management. An A&R, you know, trying to find an incredible artist, trying to find the right song or the right songs or the body of work or the chemistry or the collaboration of the producer with the artist, create a sound. Nothing's easy. Management and A&R and being an artist and being a producer and being who you are. Nothing's easy. Everything's hard. But with hard work and patience, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. From you working in the music industry and you work with some major budgets, especially working with Scott Storch and things like that, what's the biggest budget that you work with?
You know, back in the days, a video would cost $1 million. You know, the Crossroads, Bone Thugs and Harmony Crossroads video is $1 million.
Wow.
A recording budget for an album, $3 million. You know, now shoot a video for $100.
Wow.
Make a song for fucking $1,000. Things are totally different. The money's not being spent no more like it used to be.
Wow.
And it's okay because there's different ways to make things now, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, scared money don't make no money and you get what you put into it. So if you really believe in yourself, you know, you got to put money behind yourself, you know?
Yeah, you definitely right about that.
I've been involved with $1 million videos, multi-$1 million budgets, multi-$1 million publishing deals, multi-$1 million concerts, venues, tours.
Okay, so as somebody that work in the mainstream, I always tell a lot of artists, it take more than $1,000 just to break a song. How much do you think, for everyone watching right now, the managers and things like that, since a lot of people want to hit this mainstream market so bad, right? But they don't know. It takes a lot more money to invest in yourself when it comes to promotion. How much do you think it takes to actually blow up a song?
Well, look, mainstream, I feel like, is radio. It costs a lot of money. If you notice, the artists that play on major radio stations are signed to major record labels.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of money spent at radio, but to, you know, to get something going and build something, 50 to 100,000.
Yeah, I hope you guys are listening. Like, wow, 50 to 100,000. So,
and not just to get the ball rolling, you know.
Damn. Wow. So there's a thing called payola. So, like you said, just most of the artists that are playing on the radio are pretty much paid by the record label. Do you find it unfair that these record labels have these major budgets to pay these radio stations?
I don't want to say payola. Is that a major record company hires somebody to work at their label, to work radio, and their job is to strictly work radio. So all day they're calling radio stations and DJs, and they're professionally doing it. So that's why they get records played. You know, people who are trying to get the records played who are independent, they don't stay consistent calling the radio stations and trying to get the record paid because it's not their full-time job. So that's one reason, you know? Yeah. To me, there's no payola. It's more about someone who's just working every second about the same thing. And then gifts here and there. But, you know, a lot of artists don't even need radio no more to break.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you find that, like you were saying, like these labels have people that make these calls and all these marketing things. Do you find that having a team as an artist is very important if you're trying to have a successful music career?
Listen, LeBron got a team. Jay-Z got a team. Anybody who's great got a team. Together, everybody achieves more. That's what team means. There's no I in team. Okay? So you have to build a team. And you have to have a middleman. And you have to have just people working for you. If it's the guy carrying the bags, or if it's the guy pressing up the T-shirts, or if it's the engineer in the studio, or the guy making up your CDs, or the guy driving the van to get you to the show. You need all these people, you know? So at the end of the day, no one's going to win without a team. And not everybody on the team is getting paid. You know, a lot of people are doing it for the love and they believe in you. I do a lot of things for free and I get paid after the fact. I've done a lot of things with Nipsey in the beginning and didn't get paid. So, you know, it shouldn't be about the money. It should be about loving what you do and doing what you love. And then the money pays it off in the long run.
Facts. Just to ask you a few questions from everybody sending questions right now. Somebody said, how do you properly build a team?
Sorry?
How do you properly build a team?
I mean, it's not easy to build the right team, you know? Sometimes teams come and go. Look at basketball teams, you know, and, you know, they get, you know, ball players get, you know, traded here, there, so on and so forth. You know, you have to, you know, bond with the team. You have to be able to trust the team and be loyal to the team and, you know, be emotionally attached to the team. You just got to be able to vibe with the team. And, you know, teams will come and go sometimes because the chemistry is not there. And that comes with taking time and figuring out the right team, you know? So, and then put the rest in God's hands to figure it out, you know? Sometimes everything doesn't work. And sometimes things need to be fixed. And sometimes things just gel right away. You know, it's different things, different people, different folks, different artists.
You're right about that. Victor been wanting to ask a question, so I'm going to unmute him real quick to ask his question. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, thank you so much. What's going on up next? I appreciate you guys having this forum for us to meet, to connect. And Steve, thank you so much for everything that you've been expressing out here and all the knowledge and the experience and still keeping it together, because I know, like I was saying, mental health, physical health and emotional health is very real in the industry, and God knows you guys go through down. So I appreciate that.
And just so you know, especially now, man, mental health, a lot of people are losing their minds, man. Mental health is the most important thing, and that's what we're teaching a lot in our treatment center about mental health, because again, with this pandemic and people out of work and so on and so forth, is mentally breaking down. By the way, that's a nice hoodie.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That's what's up. Busher Productions represent. Shout out everybody that's in here. Follow the gigs. Busher Productions, they have a whole team. Check them out.
You're in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn. I'm in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
I like that.
Yes, sir. We have a whole team over here. And everything you've been saying really resonates with us, because we've been building that same way since 2018. We've done positive exclusivity with platforms like AudioMac. We're just increasing our numbers on Spotify because we don't believe in robotics. And I understand the industry. I understand artificial intelligence and the things that are being sold as services, the robots, the fake accounts. So we're trying to stay away from that. And it's been helping so much. And the artists are really prolific. And its quality really speaks for itself. And then after that, it's how you push it. It's how you make it up.
I always say quality over quantity. And, you know, look, you know, the internet made it that everybody's a rapper these days. Back in the days, you know, there wasn't the internet, so there wasn't a rapper everywhere. There were rappers everywhere, but not every rapper had a platform or got signed to a label. So you just got to outsmart and outwork the next man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's very true. It's very true. That's why I'm here, because I see that's how you thrive and other people in the industry like you. So it's very important.
You gotta surround yourself with people smarter than you, and you gotta know your strengths and your weaknesses, your pros and your cons. You have to be able to listen and educate yourself on things that you don't know. I speak a lot, but I listen a lot as well.
That's what's up. I appreciate that. I wanted to ask you a very important question, I guess, to me and to my team. So it's around the A&R field. So there is this sort of like philosophy that because of independent artistry and because of the ability of freedom and everyone being able to get a bag through streams and that possibility. There's sort of like, there's teams and very fundamental probably to culture that have positions like A&R positions that the process is becoming diluted because their lack of experience and their lack of, it's like you start a label, you blow up because of the hit single, and then that your cousin becomes an A&R and no talent is found around that region because of that. And so I kind of had the question, like, do you feel that that's a true fact? And I guess you would connect it how it was before in comparison to now, if you can, you know, what's your take on A&R now?
I mean, you know, I feel like there's some great A&Rs out here that are really looking for talent. And then I feel like there's a lot of A&Rs out here just looking for that metric, you know? And that's going to defer who's going to be around, who's not going to be around, you know? And then there's a lot of A&Rs who are dinosaurs and they want to keep that steady check and the health insurance and that 401k and that expense account, the label. So they find some young guys who are A&Rs who bring them the stuff and they go look good for their bosses. And then those young guys take years and years and years before they even are known, you know? And then the ones are out here young, making their moves, trying to, you know, do artist development and look for new talent that have all these numbers, then those are the ones I like to deal with. You know, like when A&Rs reach out to me, I reach out to A&Rs. I'm like, yo, what do you got? What's the hottest shit you got right now? And I'll do my homework. And if I like it, then, you know, I'll set up the session and let them get in with Scott. You know, I haven't really found an incredible artist that I think is great. I feel like the artists that I'm finding right now, they're following the trend and they're not trendsetters. And I like me. I'm the guy who always goes left when everybody's going right. When everybody's going right, I go left. You know how big podcasts are right now? I did that 7 years ago. Go Google when we hang up live with Steve Lobel with J. Cole. Just look at my podcast I did 6-7 years ago, and people thought I was fucking crazy. Okay? Now podcasts are huge, and everybody's like, oh, you should bring back your podcast. I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Because I don't want to go backwards, man. I'm a trendsetter because, you know what? I'm ahead of the times, but no one believes in it. And then when you got shit going, they jump on the bandwagon and they believe. And that's why I say I get 9 no's to 1 yes, and I go with my gut. And it's proven over and over. They told me Scott Storch would never come back. He was gone for 9 years on drugs. Well, guess what? Nominated for Grammy next year. Got big records out. Jack Harlow, Ariana Grande, all these records of Scott. And that's it. They told me Nipsey Hussle was whack. He looked like Snoop. And that's why I laugh a lot of these A&Rs back then, because they all didn't want to sign Nipsey. But as soon as Nipsey died, oh, yeah. So, again, man, everybody's a follower. They're not leaders. I'm confident I'm a leader, not cocky. And I just go with my gut, man, and I put the rest in God's hands. So, Victor, whatever you're doing with Bushwick Productions, don't give up. And someone's going to believe, and God's going to believe, and fuck everybody else.
Wow, definitely. Great, great, great answer. One thing I noticed, you manage artists and producers and things like that. Right now, imagine Scott Storch. Do you find it easier to manage artists than manage a producer than to manage an artist?
Great question. I never managed a producer. When I took over the position to manage Scott, remember, he's a legend. He was around, but he fell off.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was stuck in his ways and he was stubborn, like myself as well, in my personal life. But he trusted and believed in me to listen to me. And, you know, I was bringing artists, you know, like Roddy Ricch and A Boogie before no one knew who they were. And he was like, yo, what is this, man? I'm like, just listen to me. And they blew up. So we looked like geniuses. So every artist that he's been working with, we caught him in the beginning because my ears to the street and they blew up. So managing a producer, I don't have to go on the road. I don't got to jump on planes every weekend. So it's different. You know, I managed artists for so long, and I spent my life on the road and traveling and in studios. Now, just managing a producer, say, I set up the session, shoot by just to make sure everything's good, get some content and keep it moving. I don't got a babysit, so to speak. So I kind of like it now that I'm older managing a producer. So me and Scott, you know, we clicked, and we got all these other businesses. So we're blessed, man.
That's dope. I'm happy for you guys. And I think I was reading an interview that you did a while back, and somebody was asking you what you regret or what thing that you wish you did. And you were mentioning you having a wife, having a long-time partner, because you spent so much time on the road, you never really had time for like a personal relationship. And I find that that's something a lot of creatives are suffering with, balancing the time when it comes to the career, the music career, or whatever creative things they're doing. What's your suggestion on that? What's your opinion that on how artists should balance their life?
You know, when I do interviews, man, I keep it 100, and I'm glad you caught that, because I had regrets about losing my mother, and I try to tell artists and people like, yo, you need to spend time with your family while they're here, and people like, yo, that's real. You know, look, I cheated myself by having children. I'm not saying I can't, but I'm 55. So if I have a kid now, I'll be 65, the kid'll be 10. Motherfucking back hurts and some shit, you know? So I cheated myself on a lot of good things, man. A lot of women left my life because, you know, I would just leave them and I'd be on the road for a year. I was doing something that I loved, and I was in the studio and traveling. So it's a gift and a curse. But one thing I didn't, you know, teach myself was balance. And I try to tell the upcoming generation who I mentor and speak a lot is to, you know, have some balance, you know? Try to balance, and it's very hard. That's why a lot of people in the music industry came up with me and not married, or they got divorced, or so on and so forth, or they're not there for their kids because they were traveling. So, you know, that's a big thing that I push is balance. And, you know, this pandemic is now making people get closer to their family and their children because they're home. You know, it made me find some things about myself. So, yeah, balance is the key to everything, and it's hard because when you're chasing something you love, there's no balance. So try to have balance so you have no regrets.
Okay, great. Definitely great answer. That's something I suffered in the beginning of my career with my wife and things like that. Just so focused on work that I forgot I had to spend time with my wife. But now I know, like, I have to budget, let you call it, like, schedule myself. Okay, great. Doing this job, this time, spend my time with my wife so that I really help.
Because we want to be everywhere. We want to be part of everything. Yeah. And we feel like we're not there. It's not going to get done right, especially if you're a control freak like myself and you want to be on hands.
Yeah, you're right.
You want to be on hands to deal with it. And I taught myself after my mother died that, you know what, I got to live my life too, man. And what Nipsey told me was too, yo, maniac, man, you know, start enjoying your life, bro. You worrying about everybody else but yourself, you know?
Wow. Yeah, one thing I noticed about artists, because I do a lot of artist development and helping artists with promotion and things like that. And I find that a lot of artists, they spend a lot of money on their album or their records, over $20,000, $30,000. When do you feel like an artist should just be like, I spent over $30,000 on this album. I haven't get nothing back. My streams are not going up. Nobody's buying my merch. Do you find that artists should, at one point should be like, you know what? Maybe artists, being a musician is not for me. Let me look into being an engineer or a producer or something like that.
Yeah. Not everybody's an artist, and everybody thinks they're an artist, and I'm like, maybe you can become a manager. I'm dealing with someone who's really close to me who wants to be an artist so bad, but I'm like, man, you'd be better off as a manager. But if you are an artist or anybody out there being an A&R, a manager, producer, always set your goals. You know, make a blackboard, a whiteboard, and write down, you know, the end game and a P&L. And break down, if I spend this, how much do I need to make back to make break even? A lot of people just spend and have no plan and don't do a P&L and don't have a spreadsheet and don't understand, like, I'm going to invest this, but how much am I going to make back? And that's what I need. Yeah. They never plan nothing. They have no structure. They have no goals, no end game. They just do it and they just don't give a fuck. And there's so many artists out here right now. They wish they had that money back from fronting on private jets or popping bottles or going to the strip club and so on and so forth, you know?
Yeah, that's a great answer. You're right about that. Artists need to start having this spreadsheet and putting these numbers together. Because a lot of them are just spending and spending and spending and never seeing any returns. And
when it comes to music, without knowing your return.
Yeah, you're right. And so tell us
how they should start. That's a big gem right there. That's a big gem I just gave you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm about to have to tweet that later. But what I wanted to ask you, like, before I lose my train of thought, right? So what's your take on that? Do you find that if artists are not making any returns from the investment, they should keep going, keep investing, or should they just call it quit and just drop singles and not investing too much in the craft?
If this is your dream and you're going with your gut, you know, and God is behind you, don't stop. But, you know, revamp, revisit, you know, and try to change some things that are not working. You know, sometimes things are broken, so you got to fix them. Sometimes when they're not broken, you don't fix them and you stick getting your money. Sometimes the motherfucker shit is going so well and they try to go fix something that don't need to be fixed and everything falls apart. So, you know, if things need to be fixed, fix it. If things are going well, that saying is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't give up on yourself. But, you know, at the end of the day, don't just keep spending. This is the point you got it. You're in. This is, like I said, this is a great question because this is a business. I'm in the music business. I'm not in the music industry. The music industry is a bunch of romper room, circus, clout chasers. The business is people who want to have longevity and make money and pay their bills and feed their children and put another person on and make their investment back and be real business like anything else. You know how many businesses are out there suffering in LA and New York right now that are closing down and they can't survive? We're living in a fucked up time right now. We need to be praying for each other. And I tell all these artists that live off of touring and doing shows, you better pray that the independent promoter is going to be in business after all this shit, because they're the ones booking you to do 1,000, 1,500 seaters. Not everybody's doing Coachella or OVO Fest or Rolling Loud. You're right. So, you know, there's a lot of club promoters that were feeding a lot of artists and their kids. And that's what I tell artists that live off shows, which a lot of these artists do. You better be praying for these independent promoters. And they don't think like that, man. They don't think like that. And there's so many artists out here fronting right now for the fucking gram through this pandemic. And you know damn well you ain't got that shit. And I want to say names, but I'm not going to say names. So many that are fronting, man, giving the wrong message out here. Stop putting private jets and fucking Rolls Royces and jewelry. You're fronting because you ain't making no fucking money doing shows. Stop giving the wrong perception out here to these artists that think it's all fun and dandy when it's not.
You're right. Coming from somebody like you, that's part of the lifestyle. I do find a lot of major artists front out here. Yeah, they do have this smoking mirrors. They be dropping these cars to the jet. I'm like, bro, shit is crazy out here.
Why don't you tell them the show? Why don't you tell them to show their fucking deeds to the houses?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because the first success and goal you should have when you get in the music business is buying a house and owning a house. There's so many artists right now in this pandemic that have been in this game a long time that don't even own a house. They've been renting because they're worried about spending money on the wrong things. You know? Right. So a lot of artists. So, yeah, that's what we need to see. Anybody can go put a nice car in a fucking picture. You can go take a picture in a car and just see it in the parking lot. You know? Congratulations, whoever just bought a house. And, you know, anybody can pull up to a fucking private. There's so many artists out here giving the wrong perception and fronting. It's corny, man. It's corny. And that's why my Instagram, I use it as a platform to show real shit. Man, my partner where I'm sitting in the treatment center right now. My partner owns a treatment center. He has two jets.
Wow.
And he ain't on social media. He don't know who the fuck he is. Nothing. Humble as can be. No rapper out here owns no private jet. They didn't think about that. They spent all this money on these private jets trying to look good in front and do shit. You know what? You're smart. You would have flew fucking business or coach, saved all the other money and put it into fucking houses and real estate and investments. But you were too busy fronting for abroad or for some other people that don't give a fuck about you.
Wow, you're right about that. And just to follow up on your answer, right? As you're saying, like, a lot of people are in the music industry and they're not in the music business. So how do you think artists should start setting up their business, the music business, so they could be successful?
Structure. It's like having structure in your home with your wife and kids, or you and your girlfriend, or you and your family and your parents. You have to have a structure in any type of business. You know, I own a few businesses. It's not, we just open when we want, close when we want. We don't give a fuck. No, you have to have structure and you have to make an end game and you have to set goals. It's a business. You understand? A lot of people want to be artists just to look cool. I see a lot of girls on Instagram and they all looking the same. They all doing the same stupid shit, try to get attention. They say they're an artist. and I get disappointed. I'm like, wow, it's my daughter. I smack her. You know what I mean? Like trying to, yo, if you really think about it, you know, you run into these girls and they say they're artists. And meanwhile, their fucking Instagram pages are selfies looking like a fucking hoe or a prostitute or a fucking slut. Excuse my French women. But you don't see nothing of them in the studio or them doing music and stuff like that. Like, so how are you an artist? And then, you know, you put up songs of you in the studio, you get no likes. But then you go put up, you know, your ass and you're getting all these likes. Are you an artist or are you showing up your ass? So, you know, like, use your social media to promote and market what you're trying to do, not to get likes and attention and clout. Shit is corny. Again, I use my social media, and I'm 55 years old. I have like 200,000 followers, but I use it, you know, just to motivate and educate and then teach and learn and throw some throwbacks and this and that. You know, I just try to, you know, be creative with mine. Again, I wasn't a guy who would ever be doing speaking engagements, and I'm the coach. You know, I'm the guy behind the scenes. I'm not a rapper, yeah, a singer, a dancer. But you know what? Yeah. I feel like people need to hear more from guys like me than just an artist who has no fucking even integrity. You know, what was that last comment? They said, Steve, what?
Steve, you post on and said, real quote. They say you post some real quotes.
Yeah, you know, because that's what it's about, man. I'm trying to just inspire, motivate. I'm not throwing up watches and cars.
You do a lot of motivation for sure.
Yeah, because we hear that we gotta invest our time in educating and motivating the young people about real shit in life, not just corny shit, man. I want to call so many rappers right now, but I'm not gonna say their names, man.
Yeah, because they be really capping.
Man, it's so capping. It's sad, man. Anything I post is the truth and facts and things I've been through. How can I Photoshop me and Biggie, me and Pun, me and Nas when you in 1993, like, come on, like, so I'm just here to motivate and inspire, man, and teach people. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors, but it disappoints me when, you know, there's females out here, you know, and I have a great woman in my life, but, you know, they say they're artists, and you go look at their page, and it's like, you look like the next chick, and it's all stupidity, man, so.
But why is that? I notice about hip-hop, when they come to, like, women artists, women rappers, and things like that, they tend to sexualize the woman artist. It's making sure to ask a lot more.
It's not even women too. It's just guys too, trying to look the same, look like the next rapper, post the same thing, and saying the same thing. And there's no creativity, man. And that's why there's a certain. You know, look, we worked with an artist yesterday, Rumor, RMR. He wears a mask.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you something.
With that, yeah.
You could say it's a gimmick. The kid came to the studio yesterday. Worked with Scott. Talented as a motherfucker. So his gimmick with his mask is cool, but you know, he backed it up with the talent. Yeah. You know? So people just try and do different things, but you got the talent. So, you know, you notice when you go look at Instagram, so many people, male artists looking the same, and then females just selling their souls just to look cool. But then if you're an artist, as soon as you put yourself in the studio or, you know, doing some type of behind the scenes stuff, you don't get as much likes. It just shows you that people are following you because you look cool in your Photoshop. That's why I'm saying, like, the real talent and the real music will outlast all this nonsense. And remember, I come from non-social media. I grew up in an era with no social media.
Do you find the era no social media and the era of social media? What's your take on that? Do you find there was, like, a lack of mystery when there was no social media? You didn't know who the person were. You didn't have any contact with them. You couldn't comment on their pictures and things like that. What do you find that social media is kind of like the root of the game?
It's a gift and a curse. I mean, I love social media. I'm a whore. I love it. You know what I mean? I'm addicted to it. But again, I come from non-social media too. So, you know, some people that come up with me and they can't adapt to social media, they can't even still be in the game because they don't know how to diversify, they don't know how to grow and change. Yeah. So, you know, I thought it was a gift and a curse, but I know how to use it, love it. And to each his own.
You're definitely right. I'm not going to hold you up for too long. I'm going to take a few questions from our participants. So, Poppy, I'm about to unmute you right now and ask you a question. Yeah, you asked your question.
Hello, you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Speak a little bit louder, though.
Better now?
Yeah, go ahead, ask your question.
All right, boss. My question was basically, like, what do you still consider a Canadian artist, an international artist? And, for example, if, like, somebody were to be considered an international artist, is there, like, a demand for that? In the
can't hear anything. So.
Yeah, I can't hear you. Just type your question. I asked him for you, all right? Just type your question. Just type your question. I'm going to ask him for you. So a next question somebody asked, he said, what major tips should we know about Spotify curated playlists / pitching, and how much will that impact our growth?
I mean, look, you know, Apple, Spotify, Tidal, these are what people are going for to listen to music. And YouTube, you know, especially the younger generation, they don't know about, you know, go and, you know, listen to CDs and so on and so forth. So I feel like you need these platforms. And you should get to know the people who are curating them. It changes a lot, you know. You catch yourself on one of these playlists, you know, your career could change. You know, it's just like back in the days, you got your CD on the right shelf in the store, or you got your song on the radio with the DJ. So now it's like if you get on one of these playlists, and that's why it's very important to get involved with the people running the DSPs and, you know, build a relationship with them and just go from there.
Okay. You're definitely right about that. I've seen that you work, like you said, you work with a producer, you work with writers. And one thing I realized from working with a lot of artists, and I noticed that they're always the last one to get paid. You know, producers get paid, these promotion people get paid, video guys get paid, the recording studios get paid. But the artists have to wait how many streams, have to sell a couple records or whatever to even get a couple dollars back. So from working with publishing, writing, and producers, which lane would you recommend for someone like that's a creative to go into to make the most amount of money?
Yeah, well, you know, songwriters don't get paid up front. Sometimes they might if you're a Pooh Bear, but not mostly every songwriter gets paid up front. They get paid on the back end from the publishing, and that could take 2 years. You know, the producers get paid on the back end. If they don't have a publishing deal or they have a publishing deal, it takes years. A producer gets paid in advance for doing the track. Some producers don't get paid in advance. Artists got to wait years to make their money on the back end. That's why they do shows and they sell merch and they try to do endorsement deals. So everybody thinks that you make the money overnight, and it doesn't happen like that.
Oh, okay. So they don't make the money overnight type thing.
No, it does not. Money's not made overnight. No, the money's not made overnight.
So when these artists get signed to these major deals, since you were able to kind of like lock in a couple major deals for artists, like the advance is kind of like, is it part of the recoupment from the contract? Do they recoup these advances from
everything's,
artists?
Everything's a loan. So how an artist makes money, if they get signed to a record label, some of that percentage goes to the advance, and that's for their pocket. It's recoupable though. And then the rest is to be spent on making the product and the album and paying producers and promotion and marketing and the video.
Okay. All right.
And that's why a lot of artists love doing shows, because that's cash money.
Yeah.
And you know, you pay your booking agency 10%, your manager 20%, and the rest is yours, and you put some away for the IRS. But you know, without all these shows, that's why people are not making the money they're supposed to be making right now. And no artist ever thought this was gonna happen. So that's the scenario, you know?
Yeah, okay, great. So I'm not going to hold you on for too long. I got two more questions for you.
I see there's a few questions, and Andrea wants to ask a question as well.
Who? Andrea. Okay, Andrea, let me put you up after I ask my question. All right, I got you. I'm going to unmute you in a few.
Go watch the UFC fight.
All right, no doubt. So to maintain your success in your career, right, how much time do you dedicate towards your work? Is it like, well, how much time do you usually like put in work?
I'm abnormal. I dedicate most of my life to work.
Wow.
I sleep like 4 hours a day. I try to take the weekend or at least Sunday off. But I have an addiction, man. My drug of choice is work.
Wow.
You know, and it's not a good thing, because life is bigger than just working, but that just makes me happy. I love making deals and helping people and doing different things, moving around. But, you know, you should dedicate being normal and having balance. You should dedicate at least a nice good eight hours a day to your craft.
Okay, dope. Oh, okay, Andre, I'm about to pull you up right now, so get ready to ask your question. I just unmute you, so go ahead and ask your question.
I don't even really have a question. I just wanted to, you know, get on and say, like, thank you to both of you guys for making this happen. I've been trying to get in touch with Steve. I have actually been DMing you because I haven't wanted to email you demos just because I do everything myself right now. So it's like, I want to make sure that it, when you hear it, it's like, oh, there's potential. Like, I want you to hear, like, yeah, it's, that's it. So, like, yeah, currently, I mean, that's what I'm doing. There's so many things I want to say. I wanted to touch on that thing that you guys were talking about with women, because I feel like there's just so much pressure for women to, like, especially with what's going on right now, like, with what women are doing and putting out. It's like, you have to find the balance. It's like, yeah, it's okay to be sexy and this and that, but it's like, you got to have a little class with it. And it's like, you know, like, there is a lot of pressure with what people are asking for, and you kind of have to, I think, find a way to manipulate what people think they want and really give them what they need. And, like, I don't know, like, there's just so much I could touch on, but yeah, I just wanted to comment on that and just say that this is like,
okay. No, I appreciate that, you know, but, you know, I try to tell women, just be classy and sassy.
Right.
You know, don't be devilish and whorish, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not about, you know, with me, especially if you're a woman, it's about the lyrics and just something that's tasteful. You know what I mean? And I feel like there's no better time for a female artist than now. The last few years has been a great years in the past for music. In the past, if you go back 10 years, there wasn't a lot of female rappers, you know, and I feel like now is plenty of time. And you DM me, but do I respond? Because I think I don't respond.
Oh, thank you. No, I don't know. If
yeah, I'm not a DM. I'm not the DM guy. I mean, you know, if anybody DMs telling you it is an email to send music to, then it's a fraud. But my email is on my Instagram.
Yeah, it's the A2. I seen it. It's the
A2. That's my email.
I've almost sent you demos, but I'm like, you know what?
It's A2ZENT@yahoo.com. But the first impression is everything. So I'm glad you're not just sending anything. Yeah. It goes straight to my phone and my computer, and that's my email. And at the end of the day, I respect, you know, you getting on here and spending your time on here for like an hour and a half. I appreciate you just like you appreciate me. We're all the same. So, reach out. We build organically. But, you know, less is more. You don't have to hit me with 20, 30 songs and put the rest in God's hands, to be honest with you.
Definitely. Thank you.
Stay healthy, okay? Stay healthy and happy holidays.
Same to you.
Thank you. God bless.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for your questions. We also got a gift we have to give to one of our participants.
You know, I stay humble, man. You know, because I know everything goes up, must come down. So is there any more questions before the gift out?
Last question right now. The last question I have for you is, what's your advice to everybody here, man? What would you like to share with everyone here today?
And Lewis got a question, too. I mean, my advice here is to stay consistent.
Okay.
Never give up. You know, just have some patience. You're going to have to sacrifice a lot. And, you know, it might sound cliche, man, but put everything in God's hands, man, because I feel like everything is written. Have good karma. Be around positive people. Don't be around negative people. Be around people who just try to tell you it ain't going to happen, ain't going to work. Run for those type of people, man, and just, like, work hard, man. Just keep it real with you, man. Sounds cliche, but it's truth.
Okay, great. So last question before I let you go. I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you coming to this Zoom and speaking with everyone, like dropping all these information that they really need. You know, you kept it real. Like you being real with everyone, telling everybody the truth, because a lot of people like to sugarcoat shit and not tell the truth on what's going on in this industry.
I appreciate you, bro. I think some of that last question to Lewis or something.
Yeah, I'm about to get him right now. Let me put him up. Lewis, go ask your question before we let the man go.
First, I wanted to say much respect to you, Mr. Lobel. I've been following you for a minute. And, you know, I always see you posting up stuff with your family, with your pops. So salute to OG Ted. Secondly, I wanted to say, if you have any advice for, you know, an artist who's been in it for a minute, You know, just like you said, revamping himself, getting the music out there, getting good results. But, you know, during the crazy time that we're in right now, if you have any tips on, like, or advice for, you know, keeping your album relevant right now, say you just put something out, you know, it's crazy right now because, as you mentioned, a lot of artists make money off of tours, you know, and other, you know, sources. But right now that we're in the pandemic and you can't really do that, you know, I'm seeing a lot of artists doing different creative stuff. And I was just wondering if you have any feedback on that or any, you know, advice for that.
Yeah, where you from?
I'm from North Hollywood, sir.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful painting behind you, man.
Yeah, that's actually my album cover.
rest in peace, Kobe, man. I used to work with him when he was a rapper. To be honest with you, man, you know, if you've been doing it for a while, reevaluate certain things and see what you could change and do better.
Okay.
Because if you've been doing it for a while and it's not working, then there's something missing or something needs to be adjusted.
Right,
and don't change too much because, it takes away the authenticity and who you are.
Got you.
But if you've been doing it for a while, there's something that needs to be maybe a little bit fine-tuned.
Got you. Yeah, no, I've been doing it for, you know, for a minute, and I've had some great shows, other, you know, great collaborations, opportunities. I personally took a break for myself for a little bit just from, you know, mental health and stuff like that. Came back, and I've been getting positive feedback on my work. And so I was just wondering what opinions, you know, or feedback you have for, like, an artist right now that's trying to, you know, just find a creative ways to keep, you know, their momentum up instead of just, you know, falling into the shadow more or less.
To keep it real with you.
Yeah.
First thing is to stay healthy.
For sure. Got you.
The second thing is, like I said, man, go take a blackboard up or, you know, a chalkboard or something and say, what's my pros and what's my cons? What's my strengths and what's my weaknesses?
Gotcha.
And fix your weaknesses and fix your cons. And I guarantee you, with the, you know, with God involved, everything will work out.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you for the
advice. Don't give up. I'll see you around soon, man. I'm in North Hollywood a lot. I'm always, you know,
yes,
in the back.
Yes, sir. I actually, I got to get you some of our shirts, man. We got a dope brand called Welcome to Hell.
Welcome to Hell?
Yeah, Welcome to Hell. Yeah.
Damn, I don't want to go to hell, man.
Nah. It's like, it's what I actually named my album, bro. It's Welcome to Hell. Right. You know, state of mind. Hey.
And you know what? Maybe hell means something different. So I respect that. So look, I just want to tell everybody, man, I appreciate your time. Yeah. Happy holidays. Stay healthy. Yeah. And what I think we should do is this, right? As far as our gifts that I wanted to give you guys, I want to give one to Andrea. Because she's the only female in here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, up next, you can holler at my partner, Jay, and tell him I said we're going to give two gifts away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're in the giving spirit always. Anybody in here Jewish?
Any Jewish in here?
Anybody Jewish?
Somebody said part Jewish.
Nah, so no one's Jewish. All right. Well, I was gonna give someone one of them for Hanukkah. You have to be Jewish. So I would have gave one because of Hanukkah, because you know I'm Jewish. So we give one to the, you know, Andrea, because she's supporting the females.
Yeah.
You know, look, I'm American. I'm just Jewish, but you know, I love everybody. I mean, we could give one out. I think we should have a trivia question. Whoever can answer it first should win it. You know.
Go ahead.
What would be the question? Fuck. Shit. I don't know, man. What's the trivia question should be? Joe. What's the trivia question, Joe? What should we give him? The first person to answer.
Somebody said, what were the toppings on his pizza?
What was the toppings on that pizza? I was so hungry, I don't even know what he had on a pepperoni. What should be the trivia question? The trivia question is, all five members of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, wow. Whoever could answer that, get a gift from Steve Lobel himself.
They need to know this right now, though.
Yeah, type that right now in the chat right
no,
now.
No, you got to put them on audio right now. Whoever the first one says, they don't. The first one to say, because they're going to Google it right now. They're going to Google it.
Or somebody just typed it out. She said,
Nah. It ain't right, though. You got to spell it right. Everything got to be right.
Oh, gosh. Yo, Lewis at that. So if you're going to give me, might as well give it to Lewis. He got all five.
What did Lewis say? Let me hear what Lewis said.
He said, lazy, put him crazy, on, biz.
Put him on. Put Lewis on. Unmute him.
I said, lazy, crazy, flesh, busy, and wish.
Let me see Lewis's face. Oh, Lewis did. Okay. And you know what? Yeah. You did, you, it's, so it's Crazy Bone with a K, just so you
right.
know.
Right, no, I know, I was typing quick, man.
Crazy Bone, Wishbone, Fleshbone,
Busy
Bone, Lazy Bone.
Yeah, Alberta. Right.
North Hollywood one, all right?
Yeah.
So,
okay, great, I got you. Make sure you DM me on Instagram.
Appreciate it, man, I will. I will DM you. Thank you, Mr. Lobel. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
They said, of course, L.A. won. Hey, if y'all in here, y'all got to know hip-hop. It doesn't matter because guess what? L.A. couldn't win because Bone Thugs is not from L.A. Bone Thugs is from Cleveland, Ohio. Knowledge is key for sure. Remember this. Bone Thugs and Harmony. It's from Cleveland, so L.A. couldn't have won because I know the subliminal. You're trying to say, well, of course L.A. won because Bone's from L.A., and they're not from L.A. All
right, man. I'm not going to hold you on for too long. I appreciate
easy,
your time.
Easy, easy, easy. Yeah. Easy is from L.A. Easy's from L.A.
Oh, wow.
All right, he all put right, them man. On. All right, so look, God bless y'all, man. Happy holidays. I appreciate God your time, bless all right?
Y'all. God bless y'all.
Peace, everybody.
All right, peace out. Have a good night, man. Have a good night. Yo, while I have everybody on here, if you didn't leave, we could kind of like do some music reviews and shit. We could drop some songs while he's not here if he already left. So if you guys want to do some music reviews, we could definitely do that. Drop some songs and network with everyone. I got here till I got to like 20 more minutes. We could drop some songs. Hold on. Let me stop.